ஓம் சாந்தி. சோ டுடே ஈவினிங் வி ஆர் கோயிங் டு ஷேர் ஆன் த சப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் தி கமிங் எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் சக்சஸ் த்ரூ டிடாச்ட் அப்சர்வர் ஸ்டேஜ். வென் வி ஸ்டார்ட் டாக்கிங் அபவுட் தி டிடாச்ட் அப்சர்வர் ஸ்டேஜ், it immediately gives you a lift, because detached observer means you are absolutely soul conscious and then you are observing the scenes around you. The moment you go into the consciousness of being a soul, a point of light, the feelings of elevated consciousness start giving you an inner joy, and success follows in every step. You don't need to put in efforts for success, but success follows. That's why we use the proverb, nothing succeeds like success. But the keys sustaining the detached observer stage, and that's probably the first lesson which we learn, and we keep practicing it all our life, because we keep enjoying it all our life. We come across many such events which makes us go through the experience of elevated stage, and we want to share it with people. Like last evening when we were having a class, there were some sisters who were sharing their experience of the Ukrainian war. You know, we enjoy even war scenes. Otherwise, when you talk of a war, you know, immediately the tension starts building. But if you observe even a war as a detached observer, you can keep smiling, as I can see the sisters smiling now. And you know, they see every scene as a scene of Sangam Yug. Like they were talking, I just saw for a few minutes, they were talking, you know, this side were Ukrainian soldiers and this side Russian soldiers. And we were in the central part. And we had to go to help both the parties, because helping attitude is the attitude of a yogi. He cannot help without helping others. He cannot live without helping others. So it may be two enemies fighting with each other, but as far as they are concerned, both of them are souls. And even if they are getting injured in war, the sister would love to go and meet him and give him some help of, you know, dressing up and things like what we normally see during a war, the Red Cross forces or the forces who like to give treatment, relief to the people, they do that relief job. Since we were hearing experiences of war, I was recollecting my good old days. ...42 years ago, when I came in this knowledge, I had just seen a war. But what we rejoiced in the war period was not how many people were killed, but how many people were saved. In 1971, there was a war between India and Pakistan. And there were two Pakistans, East Pakistan and West Pakistan. And in the East Pakistan, we fought a historical war. And the result, which I remembered in the history, or 96,000 armed troops surrendered. 96,000 armed troops never surrendered in the history of this world. The history of war starts from Alexander's time. In the last 2,300 years, they say, there have been 3,000 international wars. During Dwapar Yuga, there's a recorded history of 3,000 wars. And in none of those wars, there has ever been such a victory in which 96,000 armed troops would surrender to the enemy. As I look back, I see the attitude of the Indian people. That feeling of benefaction is very deep in their heart. Even during war, they still like to see some benefaction behind it. We had about 100,000 troops against whom we had put in 200,000 troops to fight. And normally wars are fought to kill. But this was a very different war. It was just to give independence to a nation. The purpose itself. And in that, they did the minimum damages by controlling the airspace. You know, they first won over the enemy aircrafts. They destroyed them all. And once there is an air superiority achieved, it's easy to eliminate the enemies, to have the final success. But the target taken by the Indian general was not to eliminate the people, but to make them live. So first time in the history people don't do this, but they did was what we normally do in our Baba service programs. You know, when we do a very big program, we distribute pamphlets from the air, you know. We put a person in an aircraft and he carries a lot of pamphlets with him, which are all Baba's message pamphlets, and we distribute them by air in on a big vast area so that, you know, lakhs of people can take benefit of that godly message. It's one of the best services which we resort to at times, especially on Shiv Jayanti festivals. We want to distribute Baba's message to many people, and one of the techniques used is drop pamphlets on the top from the air. And that's what the Indian general thought about. He sent his main fighting general into the enemy area, flying in an aircraft and dropping pamphlets. So the enemies were surprised, what is this? What pamphlets are being fallen from the top? And the message given was that we have achieved air superiority. Our victory is certain. And one way is to eliminate you all. And we are in a position to kill you all. But I don't believe in killing. The general is talking to an enemy. I don't believe in killing. I believe in saving lives. I request you all to kindly surrender. He writes, you know, the message. I request you all to please surrender and save your lives. Many of your children and family members are waiting at home. I assure you, I will let you all go home and meet your family members. That's all. That was the message. And I remember that war because I was a part of it. So then, you know, the army general was feeling furious. What is this? We have got 96,000 troops. How can we surrender? And the governor was a very wise man. He was telling this general, I think let us treat his advice in a proper positive fashion. It is better to surrender when death is inevitable and victory is definitely lost. We have already lost the war. There is no idea of fighting. Why not save the people? Why not go back and meet your families? War is not the only way to live. There are many other better ways to live. So let's not fight. And this army general, because he was, you know, he's conscious because of ego, was being hurt. He said, no sir, what will history talk about me? That I surrendered with 96,000 soldiers with weapons? And he says, you know, if you don't do it, you will be remembered not as a general, you will be remembered as a butcher. as a butcher who allowed killing of 96,000 people, what are you doing? No, sir, my conscience doesn't permit me. I am such a bold man. I will not surrender. And he sent across a message to the senior most general. What should we do, sir? The governor is advising for a surrender, and I don't want to surrender, sir. I am a general. And that message was intercepted by us. Instead of that general receiving it, we intercepted. There are techniques, you know, we can intercept the messages. And then a request was made for the advice from the top man, and we received that request. So instead of letting them talk to each other, we thought here is a chance to give them a final help to take a decision. And even in wars, what we do? We sent a couple of fighters loaded with missiles into East Pakistan area. We had located where are they going to have meeting in half an hour. And those fighters, they were instructed. There is a multi-storied building called Dhaka House, government house, inside at the heart of Dhaka town. Your role is to fire at the top floor and don't touch the other parts of the building. In Hindi language, there is a proverb, Bhaya bin preet na hoy. If there is no fear, there cannot be any love. Sometimes we have to generate love by creating fear. And that was the technique used by the Indian side. The governor and the general were sitting for a meeting in a room. And say, general is sitting there and governor is sitting there and they are going to share. And there was a three-storied building. And they were waiting for the instructions to come. And suddenly, dum, you know, one blast comes. Bam, and the top building goes off. So when your second floor is going off, the first thing which you will do is you go below the table. Save yourself. So the general and the governor, they went below the table, both of them. And then the governor asked, hi general, what do you feel now? What do you want to do? He says, sir, what can we do now? The enemy knows that we are here. In the next round he comes, he is going to kill us both. So there is no choice, let us surrender. So the fear generated the love for the people. And the decision was taken. A white flag was shown out. And the war ended. So, sometimes the feeling of benefaction is so big that you can avoid wars and become friends forever. Those two countries are friendly even today. 42 years have passed. There has been no war after that. Millions of people have come, joined army, gone home without fighting a war. That is a lasting effect. Sometimes it happens. How did all it happen? Just because the chief of army staff of the Indian army worked as a detached observer. From Delhi, he was observing all the developments of war. So first 1 week, within first 1 week, they had to only destroy a couple of aircrafts. Whichever aircraft were either flying or on the ground, they finished them all. And then, if you now go on an aircraft, you want to do anything wherever you want to shoot around, there is no resistance. So instead of creating any more fear, he sent a message of mercy. And it worked. There was a deep-hearted mercy. The Indian Prime Minister was a very volatile lady at that time. She asked this general, what are you doing? Why save the enemy? Why don't we kill all these people? They are after all enemies. And that general looks upon her. Well, ma'am, you think I am here just to kill the enemy? She said, that's what is called victory. I said, no, I don't define victory as that. Victory is how much I save and not how much I destroy. Do you know, ma'am, if we fight the enemy, they are 96,000 and we are 200,000. Out of that, we will have to lose at least 100,000. If I have to kill those 96, I have to lose my 100,000 people. What shall we achieve? It will be first my loss, then it is their loss. And the result is victory, which is already assured. Why fight? And then she realized, yes, this gentleman is talking sense. And that's how the real good generals are real gentlemen. This is what I have learnt after being associated with the armed forces for many years. We define an officer, he is a gentleman first and an officer later. You cannot become an officer if you are not a gentleman. As simple as that. The first quality of an officer is assessed as how far you can behave like a gentleman. How far you can work for the benefaction of your people. Your interest stands the last, but it is the benefaction of your people who are your people, your troops. How much you can work for their benefaction. How many smiles you can bring on their faces. I assess you as an officer from that. So these are the trainings imparted, and even in war, the ultimate aim is or peace. The ultimate aim is to ensure how much happiness we can impart to others. And he said to the Prime Minister, ma'am, she was a lady, a bit too tough a lady of that time. And she said, ma'am, I work for ensuring a smile on the faces of my troops. And when I save 100,000, that is one smile which is on my troops' face. And those 96,000 people, you think they are enemies? They are my troops. He said, they are my brothers and sisters. And she was looking at him. He said, you are strange. He said, no, I am not strange. That's what I have been trained. All are real brothers and sisters. We only have to play the role of a war if there is no other way to coexist. I believe in coexistence, and I'll be remembered as a great man in the history. The man who saved 200,000 lives. The man who made a history which was never paralleled in the history of wars. Never in the history of wars of 3,000 wars there has ever been an occasion where 96,000 lives were spared. And this is how a detached observer can take a right decision. Success he ensured. Victory he ensured. But he also saved the lives of not only those 96,000 people. He ensured happiness for the another 200,000 people which were there. They are like their family members. And he also ensured the safety of his own 100,000 troops. So, working for the masses, bringing happiness in the hearts of the people with whom we live, is the right approach in life, and that can only be attained if we can learn the art of detached observers. That's why I thought of referring this incident, because yesterday when we were being told about the experience, war experience of the Ukrainians, what was told to us by our divine sisters was, they were going on both the sides and only helping in giving them first aid, that's all. They were not bothered whether a war is going on, whether here are my people or they are my people. This side is also souls, that side also souls. And my duty is to help both the parties. So they brought relief to them, and in return, they could save money for their tickets and they could come and meet Baba. The primary purpose was to meet Baba. And that was bestowed upon them as a gift of God, because they sustained a detached observer stage. They went out to help people, whether Russians or Ukrainians, not important, just the souls. And then they earned the blessings of all. And then they came to Madhavan. They earned the blessings of our Madhavan Nivasis. And the way they were sharing, you know, it was a very moving scene which I was observing. So the key to lead a happy life and a successful life is sustaining detached observer stage. Not just experience for a short time detached observer stage, but trying to sustain it. And as long as you can sustain it, you will always go through elevated experiences. Since we have started talking about war people, okay, we'll have one more story. That was 40 years ago. Now I will talk of this year, 1995. Because there are some commonalities. The divine sisters are divine sisters. They always work for the benefaction of people and to help them. The armed forces are also human beings. You must understand this like us. And they also feel tense because of their environmental conditions. Living conditions are really difficult. And sometimes we have some internal problems, insurgencies and things like that. And they have to sustain peace. But while sustaining peace of others, they become peaceless themselves. So they look for help. And they look for help from spiritual people. And I am talking of the latest now. We have been given a task by the government to do stress management programs for the uniformed people. And the last one which we are thinking, we just went and saw a scene. Now I am not talking of the army, I am talking of the uniformed people. They can be industrial security people, they can be border security people, or whatever. They can be police people. So we went and did some program, and Sister Chandrika, the in charge of our youth wing, she lives in Ahmedabad, and she is the younger sister of Sister Vedanti, who was reading the Murli this morning. And Sister Chandrika is a very elevated soul, like her sister. Maybe in some field she is still having more enthusiasm and she does more than anyone else. She said, Brother Ashok, I want to go to a remote area and do some service. So, this month of March itself we went around and did some programs and she really felt great by serving the uniformed people. And then she thought to serve more. And she is a soul who is also blessed to be a Sandeshi. So she can see things around. She can go to such regions and Baba shows her many beautiful scenes. And she has special love for Amritvela. She has never missed Amritvela. And she always wakes up at 3:30, whatever time she may sleep. And then continues Amritvela for 1.5 hours. 3:30 to 5 is every day. I have seen many times. I might have done for 1 hour, but she definitely does for 1.5 hours. So we were sitting in, it was a holy day. Holy means the holy festival. We just had on 6th of March, we had holy festival in India. You know about holy festival? What do we do in holy festival? Any of you knows holy festival? In a few words, Baba keeps, you know, explaining different versions of holy. Holy is holy, so holy means past is past. Holy also means it is a festival of colors. So, since it is a festival of colors, and we don't like to go out because too many people will drop too many colors on us, we like to play it in a very light manner. And then we like to do bhattis on those days. So she organized a bhatti for all the BKs of that area. And there's a strength of 250 people in that class. And one day earlier she said, tomorrow we will go through a beautiful experience of yoga bhatti. Can all my brothers and sisters come at 4 o'clock in the class? So I saw in the morning, people started pouring in at 4:15. By 4 o'clock, the classroom was full. And all the 250 people turned up, not a single absentee. So we had a very nice Amrit Vela from 4 to 4:45. Then she gave a little commentary and then she said, okay, we'll have Murli class. So as the Murli class was going on and I was listening to Baba's versions, you know, I was filled up by Baba. Because we were sitting in the company of an elevated person like Chandrika Ben, who herself is goes up and sees so many scenes there. Maybe company of such holy people helps you. And I was just sitting as a detached observer listening Baba's versions, and suddenly I didn't know where did I go. And I was up in the subcollisions. And I was observing some northeastern states. Anyone of you knows about the northeastern states of India, a little bit knowledge? Which is the big river in the northeast which Baba remembers in Murli? Anyone knows? In the northeast part of India, there's a very big river which Baba sometimes refers in the Murli. Yes, very good. Who answered? Thanks to you. The name of the river is Brahmaputra River. That river is a very large size river. It comes from China into India, goes to Bangladesh and then goes to the ocean. It divides the whole of northeast into two parts. One side is China, other side is Burma, that part of the subcontinent. So we were in one part of that area and we were having a yoga bhati on 6th of March, the holy day. And then Baba pulled up and then he started showing me, you know. I clearly saw Brahmaputra River and then, you know, an area which was moving northwards and then an area which was going westwards. And, you know, sitting on top, Baba is emanating vibrations of benefaction and love on all those souls. And so I was enjoying it as a detached observer that Baba is, you know, serving these souls which are otherwise always in tension. There are some problems of insurgency in that area and a lot of reasons for other tensions. So I was so happy, at least today we are becoming instrument, and since you are sitting with Baba and observing it and then vibrations are flowing through you onto all the souls, I really rejoiced that for quite some time. And then after the class we had full day yoga bhati, and then I was to fly to meet a top general of that area. He wanted to plan some service for the people. And a message comes from the branch where I was supposed to go and land and then go and meet that VIP, that there is a curfew in the town. There is some reason there was a curfew in the town, means no movements. So the sister was concerned that how will I come out of the railway station, how will I go to the center, then how will I meet the general next day, because of curfew no movements are possible. So she said, Bhai Sahab, I just wanted to give you a message that there is a curfew. What will you do? I said, don't worry, Baba will take care. Once I have decided to go, I will go. And then I took leave from Chandrika Behan. Why I am taking her name is, she is such an elevated soul that being in her company itself is a bliss. And then I go to the airport to catch my flight. I land. And by the time I collect my luggage, I find another flight landing and people are just coming in. And I was just observing that who are the people coming in. And suddenly I observed a hat around a gentleman. And I identified him from that group of people. He was the general whom I had to go next day and meet in his office with an appointment 2 months in advance. And that gentleman was landing and then we knew each other. His father was also a general and he had a lot of love for Baba because he was a BK. And he used to come and take regular classes in Mumbai. And then Brother Ramesha and all elders, you know, Dadi Prakashmani, they were very thick friends with each other. And now that senior general's son was a general of the army. And we had naturally regard for each other because we are father's friend, and then he knows that this gentleman is also from the armed forces. The moment he says, "Ashok sir, how are you here?" Then I looked at him, "Sir, how come you are here?" "Well, I just came from a normal flight and I thought tomorrow we're going to meet you. It's good that you are meeting today itself in the airport." So I told him, "Sir, there's a curfew in the town where we are going." He says, "Yes, sir, you know, there's a curfew in the town. And now you don't need to bother about curfews and all that because now you are with a general. For me, there are no curfews, nothing. I am supposed to protect others. I am always protected." The one who is protected himself, he can only protect others. So the generals are always, you know, flying in a high stage. And then there was a very special fleet of vehicles waiting outside, and you just go out like a VIP, you go with him, and he takes you to his home, and he says, "Don't worry about the center, you stay with me." And then naturally we had time to share. And I shared with him naturally the latest experience, and we had the Murli on that day morning. The general's wife had never heard of a Murli. So I had a chance because he came with his wife, and I said, "Sir, shall we have a Murli? Because your father used to read this." He said, "Yeah, I know. I also know Murli. Baba's Murli, I know. You can read it." And then I looked at his wife. I said, she doesn't understand anything. Then I said, "Okay, we will first share on the concepts which are being taught." And then Murli was, you know, there's a lot of tension and every system is failing and people are looking for a help. And then we have to have the feeling of benefaction for others, so we should help others. There's a word called pukar and upakar. Pukar means people are crying and looking for help. Upakar means to do benefaction to others, though they are rhymic words. So I told him, "I would like to read the Murli of pukar and upakar today." He said, "Yes, yes, I like these words, you can speak." But then I said, "This ma'am doesn't understand anything. How do we start?" He says, "Well, I don't mind, you can teach her the spiritual knowledge before we start the Murli." So we had the sharing of what is the soul, what is supreme soul. Because in Murli, the word will start from Bab Dada, and she doesn't know what is Bab, what is Dada. So just to tell her what is Bab Dada, we had to tell everything. What is incorporeal God, what is subtle religion, what is Dada, what is Baba, and then how these two, he descends from Paramdham, and then in subtle religions, he takes the company of Dada, and then they both come down, and then through Dadi Gulzar, Baba's Murli is read out, spoken and all. So she had the benefit of taking full introduction of Baba, Supreme Soul, Brahma Baba, Dadi Gulzar, how do the godly versions are spoken. And since everything was new for her, she was so happy to listen to those concepts. And the general was watching. And he says, "What a nice day, that today my wife is also getting enlightened." And then we shared the Murli. And then I also told him, on the way I had shared with him that, you know, sir, yesterday morning we had a yoga bhatti, and then Chandrika Didi, you know, she conducted morning meditation. It was a fantastic Amrit Vela, and then we had Baba's versions and all. And then I saw some scenes and some areas of the Northeast. So he was looking at everything, and afterwards, when we had the Murli, and then we said, "Okay, sir, let's now talk business," that we had come to share on future service plans. So I observed him, he was so silently watching and smiling. All the time he was smiling. And then I said, "Sir, can I have a piece of paper so that we can share and write the points?" He says, "No, you don't have a piece of paper, you don't need it. I will use my piece of paper." He took out his official pad and he started writing. Well, I also have a thought to do some service in this area. And I would like to jot down my plan to help you organize those programs. If a sister like Chandrika is coming, you know, I would like to give her a very nice plan of seva. And then he wrote down, "Day one, we land here, we do this. Day two, we go to this organization. Day three, we go to this organization. Day four, you stay with me. And I'll host all the programs. Day five, we go there." One full week's program, he jotted down. and he wrote down only those areas which were seen by me when during the class Baba had pulled up. Exactly same areas which I had seen were noted down by him with a piece of paper, his own official pad he was writing on. And I was feeling so blissful and so happy. Means being a detached observer, now that man is writing, I don't know what is he writing. And I am supposed to tell him what we would like to do. And he says, don't worry about it, let me first write. And when I read it, it was exactly what during Chandrika Didi's class and going to Satyalijan's, the areas which I had seen and the areas which were shown to me by Baba. Exactly same areas were written by him, word by word, word by word, word by word. And he says, here is a piece of paper. I think this is my suggestion that we will do service like this. And when I read it, so I looked at him, I said, sir, you are also especially blessed soul. He said, yes, of course, you know, I know Baba loves me. He spoke very directly, said, I know Baba loves me. And you must be getting some good point, you know, which you wanted, which Baba wanted to show you, probably those points are written here. You know, he had caught all that. It means when he was listening to Bab Dada's introduction, he was hearing. And then he went himself to the Satyalijan's. He saw things by himself. This is how Baba works. And then he got inspired to write down the whole plan of Seva in that area. And when I read it, I said, sir, how did you see what I have seen from Satyalijan's? He said, tumhi akele dekh sakte ho kya? Can you see alone? Do you think Baba is not my Baba? He spoke very clearly. You know, this is what my Baba touched me, I thought I would share with you. So Baba is only one, whether it is his Baba or my Baba or your Baba. But sustaining a detached observer stage automatically leads to a combined stage. And the moment you are in a combined stage, things will naturally work as they are supposed to work. They say coming events cast their shadows before. And that's how what I was observing. They are just maintaining an elevated stage of a detached observer on the holy day, because holy day is a very special day in our culture. People celebrate with beautiful colors, and you know, we say each color represents one virtue. So when you celebrate holy, then it is to imbibe all those virtues in your life. And holy festival is celebrated as a memorial of leaving, you know, whatever weaknesses are there in your life, you have to give them leave, and then you have to imbibe new qualities, and that's why these colors are, you know, poured on you, just to make you feel that you are full of these divine qualities. And that festival day, we are celebrating Bhatti, Baba pulls you, shows you something, and the same scene he transfers to that person, to that VIP. And he is getting a touching there. First of all, he meets you. Your basic problem was how to meet each other because of curfew. And then God sends that person to you and he says, don't worry about curfews and all. Now you are in safe areas and you don't have to go to center and search for a place. Everything is organized. So what I have been observing in last few days, that we are almost now coming to the end of the Sangam Yuga. The time is going to come to its end. But we say the time is going to come to its completion. The cycle is going to complete. And when the time is such that you are approaching completion, it means you are going to achieve complete stage in a very short time. And when you are towards the end of the time, things happen like this, you know. Baba has already said that when it will be the end of the time, then you will all have experience of subtle stages. You will all be, during the end times, what is going to happen? Anyone? Can the translator speak? What is going to happen during the ending times? When the kalpa is going to come to its end or it's going to complete, what is going to happen around? Will he speak? Let's see what is your foresight about the future. What is going to happen in the near future? Can you speak? Yes, you speak Russian and she speaks English. I will catch you. What will happen towards the end? Broken English is fine. And even Russian is okay. Okay. You can translate a bit? Then it's good, good, I want to. Yes, Sasha. We have a helper. Hanji Sasha Bhai Boli. Yes, yes, you can sit there. You can speak. Oh, this hall is very small. You can speak loud enough, don't worry. Good. Beautiful. Absolutely right. That's what it is really going to be. What else? Anything very attractive, charming? You tell her, anything more attractive and charming? This is what the final say. That's very good. Anything else you will see in environment? Especially for Brahmins, anything more? Yes, it's true. Absolutely correct. You are absolutely right. We are all going to have visions. As was in the beginning of the yajna, so will be at the end. As is the beginning, so is the end. In the beginning of the yajna, all these dadis, when they were in Karachi, and even after coming out of Karachi, the initial days of yajna, as I have heard, trance was one of the major means of doing service and sustaining your stage. Most of them used to go to trance because when they were in Karachi, there was a period of Second World War. If you look back at the history, the Second World War was going on when Baba's children were doing Yoga Bhatti in Karachi. And during that period, to keep them out of that consciousness that something is happening outside in the world, Baba used to give them the experience of trance. And all the children will dance and enjoy, and none of these dadis ever came to know that there was a war going on around. They never knew anything. They were just doing meditation with Baba in that complex. And everybody used to have trance visions. The yajna started with the trance visions of Baba himself, the founder. And then, majority of the people used to have trance visions. And then one of the Murlis, Baba spoke also very clearly, as was the beginning, so will be the end. So, how many of you want to go in trance before then really happens? Yes, yes, yes. Anybody want to see the future visions or enjoy the visions when the transformation is taking place? Those who think that they will enjoy those visions when the transformation is taking place, you can raise your hands. Only one or two? Anybody else? Now you look back. Everybody wants to have something. Naturally, you see, that's the only way to have the best time pass. You have no other better means to have a time pass except the trance visions. Because otherwise, the news around the world will be not so good. There may not be any news at all except a few events happening around which are not so good to look at. That's how that end happens. And before that, the calamities happen. The calamities cannot give you any feeling of goodness. Calamities are calamities. So to ensure that Baba's children do not go through any tension, during the period of transformation. Trance is the only way. There may not be adequate food to eat. Still, if you are having a lot of time passed through trance, you may not need food. The needs of the body also come down. Especially if all of us have to come around Shantivan or Madhavan or Gyan Sarovar, you know, we have three complexes always available. We have Gyan Sarovar, we have Madhavan, we have Shantivan, we are going to have Tapovan. How many of you have seen Tapovan? Tapovan, have you heard? Tapovan is a very large area, which is more than double the area of Shantivan. Okay? And today morning we had the meeting starting, in which it was discussed, one of the points of agenda was that looking at the expansion which is taking place all around in the yajna, we need to make new arrangements to accommodate more Baba's children for Baba's meet. So new construction plans, making a memorial of the yajna history, these are some of the points which will be discussed during the next annual meeting, in which the seniors from all over India and also from some foreign countries will be there. Meeting? Tapovan is in the ground level. It's about 10 minutes drive from Shantivan towards the river. We already have some land around a river. And we also have a very big patch of land, more than 100 acres, in between the river and Shantivan. The river and Shantivan are only 6 kilometers apart. So about 5 kilometers away from Shantivan, towards the river, is this place called Tapovan, and where Baba has already acquired more than 100 acres of area, which is more than double the size of Shantivan. So that land is already available. We do some plowing of fields and we grow a lot of vegetables and fruits in that area. And we call it a special sort of technique of meditation is used by emanating vibrations for those things which are grown there. And you see the quality of those fruits is very different than what we have normal. So the quality of that land is such that people doing meditation have done researches in that area. And they have found that the growth in that area when you do meditation is more, means the output, if it is supposed to be 100 kg, it will become 200 kgs. And the size of those plants, the size of those fruits is very different. The taste of that fruit is very different. And those fruits are even offered to Bab Dada during bhog. When there is special fruit coming out, you know, the brother will bring, Baba, such a new big fruit has been produced in this Baba's land. And with meditation, it has come out so big, so well, so sweet. And then it is offered as a bhog to Baba also. So these days, we only grow some, we do some plowing and we do that. But the road construction has already been done. If you want to build up as a new area, then you have to do a town planning sort of a thing. It will be a small town coming up there. And to Shantivan to Tapovan is only 5 kilometers. That means about 10 minutes drive. And you can go on a visit. As we say, coming events cast their shadows before. When you see that land, you will start seeing things coming up. Because we have already started planning to do a memorial, Baba's memorial there. Of yajna history, there will be some IMAX, latest technology, 3D, you know, shows will be there, laser shows will be there, and there will be a very nice museum. And those things are coming up there. I mean, planning will be in this meeting, which is going to start tomorrow. So tomorrow evening, there's a national meeting going to start, in which one of the agenda points is development of Tapovan for futuristic requirements. So now we have a bigger patch of land, not 10,000 people, but 50,000 people can also easily stay there. So Baba is doing its own magic and he's preparing for the end time so that maximum people can take benefit of those times. But what is most important is, as the sister was saying, yes, I want to have some visions. And Baba will really give very beautiful visions to the children. Because during transformation period, that's the simplest way to keep you away from the effects, hard effects of the difficult environment around. You are in your super sense of joy, enjoying the visions and only being with Baba, and all people around you are just divine family and no one from outside. Rather, you don't have any feeling there's any outside world for you. That's the only world. It's not only that retreat center, there are other retreat centers available in India and abroad. Wherever Baba is going to give sustenance to the children, that he has his own plans. But the end time is going to be a very nice time. Because it has to end into a transformation of the golden age. And we can only transform to the golden age if before we leave our body, we are in that consciousness that how golden age is going to be. So visions is one of the simplest means by which the God ensures that you see what is the future. And you play that life of golden age now here. Before we really move into the golden age, you will have all the experiences of the golden age through transvisions or whichever way Baba wants us to do. But we will be seeing things in advance so that when we leave our body, we live in that consciousness. And once you live in that consciousness, they say, Ant bhala sa bhala. If end is the good, then everything is good for you. So it's very important that we go into a very nice ending. Before that, we are already preparing how to achieve the final stage. We are living in that consciousness. We are serving through that consciousness. So when we say that we observe a detached observer stage, then success is your birthright. You see things happening towards that. The country, if you see India, economically, a very fast rate of growth is going on. A satisfaction that we are growing, a feeling of, you know, overall development can be seen around. So a feeling of growth is seen in the atmosphere with the present leadership of our Prime Minister. Things are really growing in a very positive manner. His art of working is fantastic. He doesn't want to play any enmity with the neighbors. If he finds the border is tense, he opens a path. He said, let's open the border here and let's start exchanging business. Tension automatically goes because people want progress. Nobody wants a war. So he ensures that we have very good neighborhood. We are friendly with our neighbors and we work for the overall benefit of the whole society on this earth and not just he is concerned about one country. He is concerned about the total environment improving. And he is one of the Baba's children who has been touched. He was in Madhuban for 3 days and he had a silence bhatti in Madhuban, in Gyan Sarovar. He was really in deep silence. And then he had some touchings about future and he has developed very highly elevated feelings about the Brahma Kumaris. And he talks very openly that if any organization on this earth is really working for the benefit, for the benefaction of mankind, it is the Brahma Kumaris. From his heart, you know, he gets the touching and he expresses it very clearly. So the total things are moving in a very positive direction. And our only duty is to enjoy the detached observer stage. The moment you become a detached observer, the first thing which you see is the connectivity with Baba comes instantly. And you see that light is coming on to you. And you see the effect of those lights happening around. I go to centers, talk to teachers. They all say, my sir, things are really working in a miraculous manner. We have started doing collective meditation on all Sunday mornings, Amrit Vela. And wherever we do collective meditation, any problem coming up in that area, very serious issue, also gets resolved in no time. If somebody is sick, seriously sick, means he is suffering from cancer and death is approaching, people start doing, you know, mass meditation for him, and the person starts changing, getting changed. He comes out of the disease. Many such things are happening around. So we are moving towards a world which is going to be totally blissful. And before that world of golden age really descends on this earth, we have to ensure that we remain in that consciousness of golden age for a sufficient length of time, so that when the moment of transformation comes, you know, they can very easily switch over. And we don't feel that there's any change taken place, as if, you know, just from one scene to the other scene, we are moved. And that's how Baba ensures. That's what we say. Maintaining a detached observer stage leads to all types of success in life. And wish you all many, many successes in your spiritual efforts, in attaining the final stage in the shortest possible time. You are all going to be really enjoying that final angelic stage in near future. And then, with the change of time, the whole thing will get transformed into a blissful, golden-aged world. So, with these good wishes, we close the topic for the day. Thank you very much. Om Shanti. Better we do not know. She had a question that, do we really know where are we going to be in golden age? So I replied, better we don't know it. Not required. Let's not carry any memories of this world into that world. Anything else? Any other questions? Om Shanti. Ji boli. For some people it is really easy, and sometimes it's extremely easy. There's hardly any time to share. The way I was born in Gyan, it was through this subtle experience of the very first day. I was called to a center. Sister Sudesh was my teacher. And I was given 75 seconds of class maximum. Not 75, rather 45 seconds, I remember. It was less than a minute. She gave me only 3 sentences. That see yourself as a point of light and see yourself as a peaceful soul, the child of the Supreme. That's all the 3 sentences told to me, and I was made to sit in meditation. And she conducted meditation. And just with a drishti, I went up and I saw everything which I have just shared with you. So sometimes some people are blessed with such, special gifts of God. And then Baba ensures that at the time of need, they emerge. And then it helps you to achieve what is really the need of the time. And Sister Chandrika is one of the examples. She is a permanent trans messenger. I am not. I occasionally go. She goes very regularly. So sometimes the help of such family members who have been specially gifted with those experiences also help us to go in those stages. So you don't need to put any efforts for it. You just have to be detached observers, and he pulls whenever he wants to pull. And we should enjoy, because he makes us experience those elevated stages. He makes us see the future as we want the future to be. And then we see things happening on ground in the same way as he has shown you a day earlier. That gives you the confidence that yes, Baba is working through you. And you enjoy as a detached observer. And you always say from your heart, thank you, Baba. And there is no other word. Om Shanti.